want to thank you, all the brothers who have served with me this morning with us, and all of the brothers and sisters in Christ who have joined in our worship service on this morning, and especially to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored, and you are the distinguished guest of our audience, and we are so thankful that you've chosen to come and be with us via a conference call on this morning as we serve God in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful that faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, meaning that we don't have to see each other to believe and hear the Word of God and for it to have effect in our lives. I would ask you this morning to open your hearts to receive with meekness God's engrafted Word, for it's able to save your soul. If you're a call today and you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you got to, that's the beginning of ever being, possibly being saved. But you have to believe in Jesus who hung on the cross on Calvary, in Golgotha, and that was crucified, God's only Son, but you would never see that with your eyes. You'd have to believe that because it's in this book called the Bible, and this book gives us what identifies a beginning of faith, a belief. Your belief is in something you've never seen. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So one must hear that God, that from God, from this book. If you believe this book, then you'll believe in a Jesus you've never seen. And when you believe in him, then you believe in the words that come from his, from him according to this book. And it was him who said to all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But it was also him who said, he that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, if you're not going to obey the words of Jesus, your soul will be lost. Jesus tells us in Luke 13:3, you tell your neighbor, but except you repent, you would all likewise perish. Simply meaning that if we don't obey God, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect, he became, notice this now, the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Baptism is obedience. It's not an act. It's not a work. It's doing exactly what God told you to do. So as you want to save your soul, the first step, you got to believe, and then you got to repent. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men. Then you must be washed in his blood. That happens in baptism. Then he adds you to the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. There's only one in there. Only one I ever preach about, and I know we apologize for saying that. You need to know that. Act 2:47 said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So you've joined us in worship this morning, and what you experience in the New Testament pattern, or the way the Christians worshiped in the New Testament. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. Christians came after Jesus shed his blood, and then those Christians then would sing without choirs, without pianos, guitars, and get fiddles, and none of those things were used in the Christians who worshiped in the Bible after Jesus' death. He also took the Lord's Supper, as you notice, every first day of the week, which is every Sunday. We go into a eulogy about the death of God's only Son, and then we enter into a memorial service. And the memorial is a reminder that this Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. When you break that bread, that's his body, and the fruit of the vine. Is to shed his blood. That's required to stay safe. And you must stay in the light and walk in the light. Drink that blood every week. That's the only hope we got. So those on the call are not drinking in blood, you're in trouble. Those who are on the call who have left the Lord, you're in trouble. Those who have left the blood, you have no hope. Men can, and nobody on this call perfect enough to live this life. The only one that came had to die for our sins. It wasn't his sins. He died for ours to give us that hope. And that is in Jesus Christ. I always take a few minutes at the beginning of every one of my sermons just in case something happened in between the beginning and the end. You already know what you got to do to be saved. And that is you must obey God, be baptized. You also know there's only one church. I do that. I do that every time. And I'm going to do it again at the end. That's right. That's right. The Bible is right. And every word of the Bible. Yeah, Revelation chapter 12. I hope you've enjoyed the study of Revelation this morning. The sermon I've entitled A Great Wonder in Heaven. a great wonder in heaven. And we've studied from chapter 1 all the way up now to chapter 12. And this many people always say John the Revelator. Well, John was given a revelation, but Jesus was given the revelation. So let's make sure we understand the revelation came from Jesus Christ. So John is in the spirit. He's in a vision. He's seeing a vision, a revelation, something being revealed to him. A revelation is something that's been revealed. It's not something that it's already known. So a mystery is something that has to be revealed, because, and then once it's revealed, it's no longer a mystery. So Jesus then starts to reveal to him information about these churches, 1 through chapter 8, chapter 7, excuse me. And then we learn that there was a throne in heaven. And then we found out that there was a book. And the only one worthy to open that book was the Lamb of God, being Jesus. We talked about that. And then we found out that the Christians had to be sealed with the Holy Spirit and protected so this gospel, this good news of Jesus' death for the world could be carried out by the saints, those of us who are still living. Now, there's going to come a day when this is all going to be over. It's going to happen in a moment of twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ will rise, but those who are caught up in him will be those who have obeyed. Then we'll be joined together in God's family, and then we would go and get ready for judgment. No one is at judgment right now. No one is at judgment. So we gotta. You could die. You go to what they call the Hadean world. Or Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, when a person dies, they go to hell or the Hadean world, and in that world there are two places to save. They're in a place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. And then those who are lost, immediately upon death, you know you're lost. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus is an example of the two. And there's a great gulf between the two places. You can't go from one to the other. And so however you die, wherever the tree falls, that's how it lays. In other words, Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. You can't get to heaven if you die in your sins. So, and then we looked at those, and I add that little bit to it, so we know the seal are those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they're now in the church of Christ, and Jesus is coming back to get them. Now, that's going to be important to pay attention this morning if you're taking notes, because this is going to be significant to what I just said, that Christ is coming back to get his bride. That's going to be significant to this study of this wonder in heaven. Remember that. Remember that. I had one beautiful wife, and she's gone on past life now. But however, she obeyed the truth that my comfort comes in, that she's saved. Okay, so but if I could be rejoined to my wife right now, I would want that. That would be male and female. That's my wife. Husband and wife. Christ, husband. Church, wife. Ephesians 5:23-20. I'm coming back with more information on that. And so understanding this relationship. Now only those who are been washed or sealed, they get washed, and then what you've done to be sealed, you have to obey the Holy Spirit. Now, let me make that real simple, because some people think the Holy Spirit is a spooky thing. Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. You got the Father, you got the Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit role was to guide the apostles and prophets in the right what we have today called the Bible. Now, because we have the Bible, you can't obey. If you don't obey the Bible, you haven't obeyed the Spirit of God. So when you obey the Spirit of God, you do like what Leah did last week, another did this past week, and many have done on our conference call from our gospel meeting. They're being sealed. If you're on this call this morning, you got to get baptized to be sealed. And then at that point, you're obeying the gospel. Now, I'm recapping right now to bring us up to chapter 12. Now we went through the seals, the seven seals, and we got to the point that we now know that judgment has been announced. But judgment has not been carried away. Remember, the four angels stood on the four corners of the earth. That's Revelation 7. Now, somebody say, well, Brother Brooks, why is Revelation so mysterious, so strange? Well, you know, algebra is strange if you've never been taught. That's what amazes me about people. They just want to pick the Bible up and never go to school. You couldn't have got to algebra, geometry without knowing 1 + 1 = 2. People who come into the church need to understand that 1 + 1 is believe and be baptized. That's equal saved. Then the Bible says, Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then he said there's a second thing come out of that, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commandment. Most people can't. It's not that it's so mysterious. You have to have a teacher. I mean, that's why Paul told Timothy, and Paul and Timothy to study to show thyself approved. If you can't call yourself a student if you're not willing to study. What do you mean? To study, even from elementary through college age, we have teacher-student relationship. It amazes me when people come to God, they want to just believe, so I feel in my heart that I need to do that. You didn't feel to learn math. You went to school. And that's what you should be doing now. You should be taking notes. Follow along with me. I'm the instructor. I got to be prepared to teach you. Amen. But the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God give it, that God in all things may glorify. You don't have to have a PhD to be a preacher of the word. You got to have a belief. Listen to me now carefully. A belief that the Bible is right. Somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, I hear what you're saying, but I need to go study there. That's your problem. Stop studying and start believing. If you start believing, then you'll believe the first time you hear Jesus say, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, you'll believe that. You don't question that. You just do it. So you say, well, what we're saying, Brother Brooks, I'm saying Revelation has to be taught. And I'm trying to teach you where. And I always use this analogy. People know me that know me. Two things that's important to me. Number one, my little brother got killed in a car wreck. He didn't know the basic things of what to do to be saved. I'm not impressed with people who use big words. The simple thing is that you can never stand before a judge and say, you listen to Brother Brooks, and he didn't tell you the basic things you need, the 1 + 1 = 2. I told you to believe and be baptized, and I gave you the scriptures, but you didn't believe it. That's why you didn't get baptized. I show you there's one church in the Bible. It's called the Church of Christ. That's why you're not in the Church of Christ, because you don't believe it, which means you're an unbeliever. Believers believe the scripture. They believe that it's true. When you do that, you will continue to do what it says do. And the most least educated person can understand the basics. The second emphasis that I put on is my daddy had a sixth grade education. I want to teach Revelation, so a person with a sixth grade education, or at least less than that, can understand it. And that's what God wants us to do, is to preach his word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exalt all long-suffering and doctrine. When I teach young preachers, and I hear them using big Greek fancy words and all that, I'm not impressed with it. You can't even hardly speak English good, then trying to use a Greek word. Just tell us the meaning of it in English. And the guys on the call who have been through my school, my classes for ministers, these are things I emphasize. I'm not impressed with you because you use some big word. I can say, oh, omnipotent God of heaven. I know I can do that. Why can't I say, oh, all powerful God, so everybody can get it? Y'all get my point. So here they are, Revelation 12. What was the purpose of all that? Because here's the thing about Revelation. Here's some basic things that you got to know about Revelation as a student. Symbols never symbolize itself. Just if it calls it a lion, that don't mean it's a lion. So here, that's important for us to get the rest of this lesson as we go into chapter 12. So I spent some time to get you where I need you, the way you need to be thinking as we read this. Now, let's in chapter 12, something changes here. John has seen this big old angel, and this angel had a little book. He talked about that little book. And then we had the two witnesses, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And John, in chapter 12, something happens. In verse 1, he says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. So something changed in his vision. What you see, John? A woman. Symbol. He see a woman clothed with the sun, S-U-N. And the moon under her feet, and her head, a crown, upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. So, in your mind's eye, you should see a woman bright. The sun is bright. The moon is not as bright as the sun. And up on our head, this crown, the 12 stars. And notice this in verse 2. And she, being with child, cried. I don't know if you've ever seen, been around a woman who was getting ready to have a baby. They'd be crying. You know, all the women on here know about that. And when I saw she ever had her first baby, Winky, Lord, I'm glad I'm the man. I think y'all understand what I'm saying. She was in pain. I couldn't help her. But it was something beautiful came from that womb. It was a child. But the woman got to go through the pain. Travail means a childbearing, like pain. And the pain before she can deliver the child. I think y'all see that. I think a sixth grade education could get this. Because we all know mamas go through 9 months of pregnancy, and all of a sudden they go in what they call labor pains, and all of a sudden this baby come out, and everybody, she cried, and then as soon as the baby come out, they spank them. They breathe their first breath, and start boo-hooing, and everybody's just happy. But that woman had to go through some pain to get that life into this world. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Who is this woman? Who is this woman? The jealousy. What is she symbolizing? Someone says, well, it's Mary. It's the mother of Jesus. Nah, we're going to see later. That's not the truth. But there's something here that I want y'all to think about. Under the Old Testament, you just get your Bible ready, get ready to write some scripture. Under the Old Testament, there was a woman. In Isaiah 62:1, the Bible says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentile shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, thou shalt be called by a new name. That's important. Which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Verse 3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem, that's crown, in the hand of the God. It's out of something by Zion, something by Jerusalem. In Isaiah 66:7, before she travailed, this is the language, this is Old Testament. Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who heard such thing? Verse 8. Who has seen such thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? They said, what is going on? For as soon as Zion travailed it there, the travail, she, listen to it, he called her Jerusalem, a she brought forth her children. So there's a woman bringing forth children. They get to have child pain to get the children. Verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, said the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, said thy God? Watch verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem. Be glad with her. See that? Jerusalem called her her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All you that mourn for her. Zion is Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where the church of Christ would start with pain. So the woman is the wife of a husband. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's the male, there's the female. The children is the church. We are the children. So Christ is the husband that hung on the cross, and the children became Christians in Jerusalem. They were called Christians first in Antioch. And those Christians would then be persecuted. They would have to experience pain as children of God in the church. Yeah. So you say, Brother Brookwood, so what you saying? I said, wait, watch this. He says, this is something. I want you all to go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 24. Paul then brings it to the New Testament. He says, now, this may be interpreted allegorically. There are two, these women are two covenants. They're two covenants. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, for she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. And you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. See, what are we saying? We are the children of the free woman, which is Jesus. But the scripture says now in Galatians chapter 4, y'all listen to this. I read it, it's a different version right there. I want y'all to listen to this. How Paul says in Galatians chapter 4. And when you look at Galatians chapter 4, Paul is teaching something here that's important to us understanding allegory. Allegory, a meaning, an illustration. Paul is saying that. Listen to this, Galatians 4:24, which things are an allegory. See that? But these are the two covenants, Old Testament, New Testament. One from Mount Sinai, with Jared to bondage, which is Agar. For Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And answered to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem is above, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice that barren bearest not, break forth and cry that trap dwellest not. And for the desolate has many more children than she with which had a husband. Now, Paul goes and breaks it down. Now we, brother, as Isaac was, are the children. He said, we are the children of promise, as Old Testament. But as then that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even it is so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, and the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then he answers, verse 31. So then, brothers, we are not children of the bondwoman. In other words, here we got it. Here's what it is. When you look at Revelation, y'all remember he says, a woman clothed with sun, and the moon was under her feet. When you look at the dispensations of the Bible, you got the patriarchal age. You got the moon, what they call the moonlight age, the Old Testament, the moonlight. It don't give as much light as the sunlight. It gave you a little vision. See, if you, the moon just gives enough to not get light, but the sun gives light to all day. Listen. So when you look at the sunlight age, when you look at Revelation 12, we're talking about Christ, the church, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. And on her head were a crown of 12 stars. The 12 apostles would bring the new light to the world. So I'm just trying to make it simple. It's simple. So what he's talking about, Christ and his church. Moonlight, Old Testament, didn't quite get over all the information. Then the sunlight, S-O-N, came. And when the moon refused to shine, when he was on Calvary, it was there that the world could see the sun, the S-O-N. He became the light of the world. And we're called the children of light. So now you got that point. She being with a child, travail than birth, and pain delivered. Now, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Uh-oh. What is it, John? Another wonder is in heaven. Another one. Yes. And behold, he said, look, what you see, John? I seen a woman. And now I see this woman, she was clothed with sun, had a crown on her head, moon was on her feet, she was crying, she had a child to deliver. And now I see this another one in heaven, a red dragon. John, what did you see, John? A red dragon? What did he look like? He got 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Wow. Another wonder. Something that's amazing. This is symbolism. It's not an actual dragon like you see on TV. And we've seen nothing like this thing in books. Look at verse 4. He said, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of this. This guy's huge. And did cast them to the earth. He had a third part of the stars of heaven. And those stars were thrown down to the earth by this dragon. And the dragon then stood. John said, I see the dragon standing before the woman. The woman who's getting ready to deliver the baby. For her to devour her child. So this dragon is going to devour. He's waiting for the baby to be born so he can kill it. As soon as the baby is born, the dragon wants to kill the baby from the woman. This dragon is powerful. In verse 5, and she, that woman, brought forth a man child, whoso was to rule all nations. Who is this man child? Who was to rule all nations with the iron rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God at his throne. The dragon was waiting to the man child. This is Jesus Christ who came through the Virgin Mary. Of course. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had placed prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Even though Jesus is back in heaven, this old dragon isn't finished. He goes back to get the woman. In other words, Jesus went back to heaven, but that old dragon kept chasing this woman. He's still trying to kill the woman. Notice this. In other words, here's what's happened. When he couldn't stop the bird. Notice verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Because he couldn't kill the child. He said there was a war in heaven. And the war was between Michael and his angels. The Michael is known as a fighting angel. Michael, the archangel, a warrior angel. He fought against the dragon. Jude 9, Michael deals with Satan. In Jude verse 9, he deals with Satan. In Jude verse 9, he said, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a relevant accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee, So there it is in Jude 9. This is after Jude is before Revelation. So here's the thing. God's angels are fighting with the dragon and his angels. See, in verse 7, he said, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, that's a good angel, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So the dragon got angels, whoever this dragon is. He got angels too. He took a third part of them with him. They down on the earth. Now, the dragon, Bible says in verse 8, and prevailed not. So the dragon didn't win the fight between Michael and him. Neither was there a place found anymore in heaven. The dragon and his angels lost the fight, and they were kicked out of heaven. Here's the answer. Here it is. In verse 9, listen to it. Bible interpretation itself. You don't have to go to school and get this, but listen to it. He's going to tell it. The great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil. Now we know who the dragon was. See how simple that was? Keep reading, right? So now we know the dragon. We're talking about the devil. So we're talking about the devil and called devil and the Satan. So what we call that, right? Devil and Satan. Notice what he's doing. He deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's amazing to me. He was cutting up in heaven, and now he's down here with us. I don't know if the Lord will have a sense of humor, but if I was going to ask him something, out of all respect, I said, Lord, if he was cutting up there, why are you sitting down here with us? He killing us. That's a question. The Lord know what he did. So this old dragon, who is it? That's the devil. The devil, that old serpent, the same one who deceived Eve in the garden. Y'all remember that? Who is this dragon? Old Satan. What is he doing now? Where is he at? He's on the earth. What is he doing? Deceiving the world. Even back in Job's day, when he approached God, God asked him, where he is down on earth. What you doing? Going in and going to and fro. Right? He in and out our lives, in and out our homes, in and out our families. He's on the earth with angels. He's not by himself. Notice, he has these angels. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, Paul says this. It's such a false apostle. Listen to the devil's angels, who they are. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he says in verse 14, no marvel, don't let this surprise you. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Don't get caught up in these looking at men with robes on and white and got their hands folded and looking so holy, walking around with a cross. That's deceptive. It looks holy. God don't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. See, you can't look at Brother Brooks. I can put a robe on, a white robe, and a big white hat on my head, and hold a cross in my hand, and you think I'm an angel of God. Y'all seen that today, haven't you? Wonder why the reverends and the fathers all wear these robes and things to bring them into a different vision in your mind, like he got something you ain't got. That's flattering titles such as father, reverend, holy reverend is God's name. Any preacher who respected the book called the Bible would never let you call him reverend. Matthew 23:7-9. Jesus called no man father. And if you call your priest father, you're in trouble. Because you've been deceived by the devil and his angels. He said, Brother, are you trying to say people, men who preach false teaching, all this, are the, yes, angels of the devil. Jesus said, don't be surprised when the devil looked like an angel. Satan is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore, he's going to go further. Verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers, the devil got ministers, can be transformed as ministers of righteousness. They tell the people they right. Poke on TV, go look at all these guys teaching. People are sending money in to buy a tile called a prayer cloth. They'll send money in just to look at Benny the Hinn. Fake healing. Talk about their men of God, women preaching. As if their women ought to be silent in the church according to the scripture. But they preaching. If God didn't tell them to preach, whose minister is she? If God wanted a woman to preach, he would have said women go preach. He would have selected one of them, in my opinion, to be one of the apostles. He didn't. He told the women to be silent. Take care of your children. He put the men on the front line to protect the women. That's what he did. Christ loved the church. He tell us, husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. A man who loved his wife would never send his wife to the door to kill the thief. He would never put the woman in the front. He put the woman behind him for safety. So if a woman is preaching, she's not a preacher of God because he didn't tell her to preach. She's going to be home raising her children. If God wanted women preaching, he would put them, he'd have said it. He said, no great thing ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works. Nothing good coming from men and women who look holy, act holy. Let me just say this to you, to all of y'all, to everybody in this. You can't look at Brother Brooks and tell if I'm in sin or out of sin. That's no one is perfect. But what bothers me more, I don't want nobody ever believe that as a minister of God that I get in that pulpit trying to act like I got something you ain't got. We all have sin. Every one of us need the blood of Jesus. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, in the sense that we cannot be righteous without the precious blood of the Lamb. So let's not be fake. Just call it what it is. All of us need to be saved. Every one of us. So we don't have no time to look down on anyone. I want my children to know this. One thing that I want them to know, and I've always said this, whatever you do, don't give up. When you fall, get up and go. Try again. Confess your fault. Confess your sin. Get up. Don't lay in the mud. Ain't nobody going to get up for you. You got to get up yourself. So here we go. We look at this. The devil wants us all to be lost. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the enemy, wanted to kill the child. The devil, as a roaring lion, seeking about whom he shall devour. He's trying to kill us. He wants us to die our sins. Those were Paul's, what the Bible says in Revelation 12:10. Just as I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. When the old devil was defeated at Calvary, salvation came. It was on the hill of Calvary. It was at Golgotha, the place of the skull, where God defeated him. Salvation came. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Everyone in the world can see with the sun light. He's the light of the world. Everybody knew about him. It appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. See, the sunlight is the one telling us how to live. That's why we got to follow the light. The Word of God is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. How will we overcome of defeat Satan, y'all? The accuser. Who will accuse us day and night before God? Here it is in verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There we go back to baptism. Revelation 1:5. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Acts 22:16. Ananias told Paul, Saul at the time, arise, be baptized, washed away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is where the beginning of defeating Satan happens. When you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and then by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now, we will overcome by contacting the blood of Jesus, being in the blood-purchased church, which is the Church of Christ, Acts 20:28, drinking that blood every Sunday. That's the only hope we have, because it's the blood. How do we know this? Because when we read the Bible, we read the word of the testimony from God. Anyone who will be saved will believe what's in the book called the Bible. We will overcome by being faithful even unto death, meaning we will die before we would denounce Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 12. And therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell within them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's us. That's humans. And of the seal. For the devil. That's those who've been washed, obeyed the Spirit. Now they're sealed. Ephesians 1:13. For the devil has come down unto you. That's us. And you and had a great wrath. He's mad. This old dragon, he's mad. He got great wrath because here's why. He knows. He's the king of the bottomless pit, y'all. He is the Abaddon, Apollyon. This guy is the king. He has the keys of the bottomless pit. And he knows there's no chance he gonna be saved. And it won't be long. Your salvation has been brought down, y'all. We got to obey God to be sealed. And old Satan will try to take us down because he have no hope. In verse number 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who is he persecuting? The woman. Remember, somebody said, well, it wasn't Mary. We're talking about Mary. What's it? Here's how I know. It wasn't talking about Mary. He persecuted the woman who brought forth the child, the man child. Here's how. Not Mary, because the church is still being persecuted. Mary did. And the woman were given two wings of greatest eagle, wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. This woman had wings of the great eagle, symbolizing power. Oh, look at that eagle. When you look at the eagle, you can study the eagle as I hasten to close here. You think about an eagle. A great bald eagle once observed flying across a lake in less than 1 minute. The lake was 2 miles wide. The average speed of the eagle was calculated to be 120 miles per hour. This meant that the speed in excess of 150 miles per hour had to be achieved during the flight. When searching for prey, the eagle can soar to a height of 1.5 miles. From that vantage point, the eagle can survey from 0.5 mile in areas of some 4.5 square miles. Upon spotting its intended prey, the eagle will turn sharply, fold his wings into a tight aerodynamic formation, and dive at speeds of up to 200 miles per hour. This eagle has power in them wings. The eagle is capable of carrying objects which appear that which approach its own body weight. Since an eagle weighs up to 12 pounds, the variety of what it can carry is tremendous. Example: eagles have been known to transport small lambs a distance of several miles. So when you look at an eagle symbolism of an eagle, you're looking at, he said, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly to the wilderness and to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. This woman had wings of a great eagle symbolizing power. They say, and I want to say this to us, that the only way that we're going to win against the devil is that we got to stay safe. We got to stay. The word of God got power in it. The only way we're going to get through storms in this life, the word of God is quick and powerful. And when a storm is coming, those eagles got strength and power to fly into the storm and deal with it. I don't know where you're at in your life, but you may be going through some things. You need some more strength. Just know this. When you get washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you become a member of the Church of Christ, and you do the best you can to live faithfully, and you repent when you need to, and you confess when you need to, you mount up wings like an eagle. You can be an overcomer. You can make it through any storm of life. Will it be easy? No. Will there be resistance? Yes. What storm with high winds don't present resistance? In other words, we have to fight. If you're on the call today, listen to me. Paul said this. Before he got ready to die, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. The fight is against Satan. How did you win, Paul? I kept the faith. I believed the scripture. And I did what it said to do. Then what happened? So I finished my course. And now there's laid up for me a crown. Let me get this close. Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. He's still trying to destroy this woman. This is just a symbol. He is attempting to drown or destroy the Church of Christ. Many of our brethren are leaving the church. What we're trying to do, what our gospel means, what I'm amazed at how many people are sending me emails that are listening to our gospel meeting and saying things like, this is the way we used to hear it. Well, why? What changed? The Bible didn't change. We still are men and women of the book. Bible taught, Bible believing. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. This is what we're reminding the Church of Christ through our gospel meeting since May. When we're reminding members of the church that many of our brethren have left the Lord, is because the devil have drawn them away. That's what Apostle Paul said. Here's what he's talking about when he's talking about the devil and his angels. He warns us of the Spirit speaking expressly. The latter time, some shall depart from the faith. Don't even have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry. If a preacher tells you can't marry a man that can't marry a woman, that didn't come from God. That's referred to as a doctrine that came from a devil. Forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from meat. People who tell you you can't eat a certain meat today, he said that didn't come from God. Speaking lies in a hypocrisy. These are doctrines of devil having a conscience theory. It don't bother these preachers to tell you to call them reverend, tell you to call them father, to tell you to do whatever they say do. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord, be saved. Bible never said just do that. The Bible said you got to believe and be baptized. Me and telling people what they want to hear, tickling their ears, giving them this easy way, this convenience store salvation. You ain't got to go to church. Any church would do. You can, as long as your heart is right, as long as you're good. Well, Jesus didn't say good people went to heaven. In Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, many will say to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and done many wonderful works? These were good people. Jesus said in verse 23, I will profess unto them good people, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. What does that mean? You came up with your own law. When I wrote the law in the book, and you never obeyed it. So just being good ain't going to get you, my friend. Here's the closing verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman. He's upset with the woman. And went to make her war with the remnant of her seed. Now, the woman is the church. And who's her seed? The seed are those who are her children, which keep the commandments of God. And in conjunction with the commandment of God. Listen to this very carefully. Here's a good point for you young preachers, Bible students. Listen carefully. The commandments of God and conjunction with the commandment of God are the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give y'all something. You got the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Now, remember that. That was a command given to the children of Israel. That ain't for me and you. That's not for us. See, they were stoned under that law. You know anybody getting stoned? They washed their car yesterday or barbecued on Saturday. Y'all was out doing everything other than what the command of God said in the Old Testament because you're not an Old Testament. That was not for you. Yesterday was July the 4th. Many people would have been stoned yesterday the way y'all would act. I say y'all, but you know how what I mean. That command was given to Israel. There's a new command today in the New Testament. It's called the testimony of Christ. It's also called the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9, John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, listen to this, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. There it is. And then it's also called the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2 and verse 42. The 12, remember the 12 in verse 1, the 12 crowns, the 12 lights. That we talked about, I talked about in chapter 12, verse 1. When we see that, we talk about them 12 apostles who bought us the New Testament, which bought us the testimony of Jesus. So the apostles were with him. That's why there's no apostles today living. But those apostles had to be eyewitnesses of Christ. And those apostles had to write, finish writing the testimony or the doctrine of Christ, or the teachings of Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit. So they could not, John 16:13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth. So they were guided by the Holy Spirit to write what we have in the Bible. 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God, prophets and apostles, moved that they would speak. They spake and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, mark this one. Put it beside the testimony of Christ and the command. Listen how he said it in verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they. Notice what they do. They keep the commandments of God. There's another and. You got the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The faith or the belief that Jesus recorded is called the New Testament, the new law, the sunlight, not moonlight, sunlight. And her seed, he mad, the dragon, is upset with the woman and all her seed. The church of Christ and all of us who keep God's commands and wear the name of Christ, follow the doctrine of Christ, that means taking, being baptized. He didn't tell Moses and them to be baptized in the blood of Jesus because Jesus hadn't died. The command is for us. Somebody said, what about the thief? Jesus hadn't died. The command is for came after Jesus died. The testimony of Jesus and the faith of Jesus is you got to believe and you got to be baptized. And then you become a child of the woman. And the woman is the church of Christ, and her seed are the children. That's us. If you're not in the church of Christ, your fight is not you can't win. If you're not in church, because the devil, his fight is not with you, because you're not part of the woman's seed. In other words, you're not a Christian. Because they had to be given a new name in Jerusalem. That's what I pointed out Isaiah earlier in 66. The new name, 62, 66, there's going to be a new name. The new name is Christian. And it started in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached the first sermon, and that first sermon he preached was known as the faith of Christ, the gospel of Christ. It's what Jesus told him to teach. So the great wonder, it was Christ, wife, the church of Christ, versus the devil. The brothers and sisters, he's still alive. He's down here with us. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to take us out. What we got to do? Stay in the light. Stay in the church. Get in the church of Christ. Stay in the church of Christ. Do everything the light tells you to do. When you get on the airplane, they say if the airplane go down, follow the light to safety. There's a way of escape. It's called the light, the word of God. I think I've said enough this morning. It's the end of this chapter. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got the message. If you're on the call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you got to obey the gospel. What is the gospel, Brother Brooks? The story, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him not shall not, but should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3. And they took Jesus after he was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived about 33 years, they say. AD 33, he was killed on Calvary. He was killed. He was executed. He was murdered. He was killed. And the Jews said, crucify him. Crucify him. America don't have never seen a crucifixion. A crucifixion is after they beat him with a whip. They beat Jesus with a whip, put a crown of thorns on his head, then they drove and took him to Calvary, then they drove nails in his hands and in his feet, and there he suffered. He suffered. He went through pain, travail, pain on the cross to save us, to purchase his bride, his church. And God in Isaiah 53, he said he saw the travail. He saw the pain that he went through, the pain he went through on the cross for us. So what we got to do? You got to see him on that cross, bloody and beaten, murdered for you. It ought to make you want to cry. That God would give his child, allow him to go through this kind of pain to save us when we are the ones that's filled with rags. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Romans 5:8. That's why. If you got to believe that. You never seen that. That happened in Jerusalem. You believe it because of this book. Now, if you believe it, then you'll be willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to hear it, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3, 1-4. That's the gospel. But the gospel has to be included in the gospel, the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, 17, 18. And I'm preaching the cross right now. I'm telling you, what God wants you to do is love him and love his son, because his son went through all his pain to save you. If you believe it with all of your heart, you'll repent. You say, I can't live without trying to do it God's way. I got to get washed in the blood, Brother Brooks. Yes. That means you're ready to repent. Confess him to be the son of God. I'll ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the son of God? You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before me, I confess you before my Father. And he says in another account, before my Father and the angels in heaven. So he'll say, I believe. If you say that, Jesus, that's him. That's one of the seeds. That's one of them right there. He made that confession. But if you don't make it now, you're going to make it. Though. You know that, don't you? Every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to do it while you're living, or you're going to do it in judgment? I say do it while you're living. Do it in judgment. It's too late to save your soul. After that, you got to be baptized. Fifth step, you got to be baptized for the remission of sin. I said this several times. You got to be baptized as commanded by the one who died for you. And then he died for his church, his wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 23. That church became his wife. That's what we're talking about. That's that woman. Ephesians 5:23, for the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is also the head of the church. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul dropped down in verse 32, Ephesians 5, for the second time. Paul said, this is a great mystery. Paul, you talking about the husband? What you were talking about? He said, I speak concerning Christ and his church. So Christ is the church, is the husband, yes. Who is the woman? The church. And she coming back one day as a bride. That's coming up later on in Revelation. I don't know, but you ought to be one of, he said, I want to be a member of the Church of Christ. You should want to be a member. But you ought to be crying right now. Because you couldn't have died for yourself. Your sadness, sorrow ought to come. How wrong you done, God. How much sin have you committed in his face? How much have God seen you doing this so dirty? All of us. And then for him to love us enough in our filthy ways to say, even if you fall, you can get back up and I will forgive you. I will never remember anymore because my son died to save your soul. And if you're on the call today and you want to be baptized, I want you to do this for me. I want you to hit 5-star after this invitation song. And you say, my name is, whoever your name is, I want to be baptized. I want to be washed in the blood. I understand that the church is the wife of Christ, and I want to be one of the children. And if you do, we'll take your confession, and we'll get you to, if you're not in Houston, not by us, we'll get you to a Church of Christ. They will baptize you today. I know they will, because they know you're not saved today. Don't lay your head on that pillow tonight without getting baptized. Be baptized today. Get washed in that blood. The only hope you got. Be added to the true Church of Christ. Now, then those who are members of the Church of Christ, if you're on the call right now, you say, Brother Brooks, I know I left the Lord. Well, you know, all of us fall. Bible says in Galatians 6:1, if a brother be overtaken in a fall, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. In other words, when you fall, you got to be restored such one in a spirit of meekness. Considering yourself. God said, now, when somebody else falls, you make sure you help them back. And you do it with meekness because you can fall too. That's what we're trying to say. And then 1 John 1:5 and following verses, he said, John says, if you confess your sins, he's just to forgive you. James 5, he said, confess your faults one to another. There you are. That's the people who fail. So, brothers, if you fail, that's okay. Get up. It's not okay to lay there. You can get up and say, brothers, I have sinned and I repent. We don't need to know what you've done. That's between you and God. But you need to change your mind. You know, and say, I don't want to do that no more. I'm ready to live for God. Here's what you do. You hit 5-star on your phone, and you can restore this morning, and the church will pray for you. So who am I calling through this invitation? Those who are not members of the Church of Christ, I'm calling you to be baptized and be added to the one true church. And those who are members of the Church of Christ, I'm saying if you have left, if you have fallen, confess your fault by hitting 5-star. Make your confession. Let us pray for you. And then who else? Those who need strength. You are weak. You're about to fall. You see yourself going downhill. You know you need to make some changes. You need to pray. You need to ask the church to pray with and pray for you that you don't fall. Pray for you that you be strengthened. So those who need to come, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, but who you're going to sing a song of encouragement, and we're going to hit 5-star if you want to get baptized, 5-star if you want to make confession, 5-star if you need prayer. Hit 5-star, and together we sing together. Brother Hugh, lead us in this invitation song.